Welcome to the June 12th, 2018 Planning Commission meeting for the City of Black Diamond. Just as a reminder, the Planning Commission is a seven-member volunteer body appointed by the mayor and confirmed by the City Council. The Commission meets on the next Tuesday following the first City Council meeting of each month. The Planning Commissioner's role is to promote and coordinate comprehensive long-range planning, growth management, transportation, and environmental protection. The Planning Commission serves in an advisory role to the City Council and makes decisions in the form of recommendations to the City Council for its consideration, whether a recommendation to approve or deny. Thank you, Commissioners, for your attendance. May we all rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner LaConte? Commissioner Sapp?
Here.
Commissioner Ekberg?
Here.
Commissioner McCain?
Here.
Commissioner Amber? Is he
absent?
Okay, he will be absent. And Commissioner Olson?
Absent and excused. So at this point in time, we'd like to ask anybody from the public if they'd like to approach the Planning Commission with any comments. Your time will be limited to 3 minutes. If you'd like to address the Planning Commission, please do so. Just state your name and your city for the record. Mr. Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Commissioners, Gary Davis, Black Diamond. Just something I wanted to make a comment about as regards to previous statements by Oak Point and Andy Williamson. If you weren't listening carefully, it would have sounded like the open space areas, some of them on the 10 Trails project, were things that Oak Point was doing that they didn't really have to do, when most of this was actually things that were required because of wetlands considerations, the buffers and the actual wetlands themselves. I thought that needed to be read into the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Would anyone else like to approach the Planning Commission with any comments? Kristen Bryant?
Hello, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Kristen Bryant, and I live in Bellevue. I grew up in Black Diamond, and I wanted to make a comment briefly on the potential zoning, because last time I was here with my father, who lives in Black Diamond, and he had a concern about the Palmer Coking Coal property, and I thought that was something important to bring up. I did some reading about comprehensive plans and see that the Growth Management Act asks that jurisdictions identify resource lands, and the King County identifies mine operations such as a gravel mining operation with a different zone that it doesn't appear that Black Diamond uses. And I was just looking quickly at the memo that it was provided on the table at the meeting tonight, and I don't think this memo is, I think this is new for this meeting. I haven't seen it before tonight in the packet. So just with a quick look, it does have a list of potential zones, including light industrial, which I think Palmer Coking Coal is zoned now. But there is the option of adding to the land use map like a mineral resource or a mining resource, which I don't have the example from the King County Comp Plan, but they probably have a really good definition that might actually fit that property, because it's a really large property in the city. So King County doesn't define it. It's up to Black Diamond. And I think that will be good to look at because I know that a lot of people in town feel like my father, that they don't want to have a lot of upzoning looked at or in the works when there's already a really large development going on. So just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, I'm writing right on it. Gee whiz. Thank you. Any additional public comment? Hearing none, we'll close this portion of the meeting. Thank you. We'll move then, commissioners, to item number four, approval of minutes. Late today, it was brought to my attention that there are some errors in the minutes. Some of those errors, I'm sure, were due to the length of the minutes. So it's been asked that we postpone the approval of the minutes until our next scheduled meeting. For additional clarification.
Commissioner Sefner, is there an opportunity at some point for us to discuss as a commission possibly moving to action limits instead of taking, essentially verbatim in? Because, the record record is being recorded, and the minutes are supposed to be just a record of the action that was taken, not necessarily the debate and discussion that was taken. And so I would encourage us to think about that in the future and for future minutes.
Good point, Commissioner Seth. Brenda Martinez, could you talk to us about what the standard policy is now?
That's up to the Planning Commission. The council has adopted action minutes only. It's up to each body what they want recorded. But Commissioner Seth is point on when action minutes doesn't really matter what was said in between. What matters is what the action was done.
Mm-hmm.
I know they are recorded, but sometimes recordings don't always work. So we always hate to rely on recordings and say, they are recorded because things have happened in the past.
Sure.
But the standard is for most everybody, it is basically maybe a little tiny verbiage in action only.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I could, Commissioner Seth, sure. I'm not asking to do that tonight. I would hope that we'd have everybody here so that we could talk about it together as a group. But in my experience, that I'm if people don't know, I'm a city clerk for the city of Renton, and we moved to action minutes in Renton about 3 years ago. We went from writing 14 to 15 page minutes to 2 page minutes,
mm-hmm.
and I see no negative. There's no,
you don't
benefit listen. In that for staff. It'll help them, but it also captures what we're actually doing, and not necessarily all the kind of arguments and debate that goes on. So I would encourage us to think about it at least, and then maybe when we get more of the commission here, we can maybe take a vote or something like that.
Good point. So I think that would be a great item for discussion to move to a new business section of the agenda, either in our July or our August meeting. Do we have to have a motion for that, Brenda? No, okay. Right. No, and I think it's a great point to consider when I look at how detailed our conversations have been around our comp plan approval and the draft consideration and all the conversations. No wonder there probably is an error or two on the minutes that the city would like a little bit more time to consider. So no problem. Good. Thank you for your recommendation, Commissioner Seth. So we will move then to item number five, the comp plan update. Ms. Kincaid.
Thank you very much. If I may, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're right.
I would like to make one announcement before we launch into the comp plan agenda item, and that's that we have an opening on the Planning Commission. Commissioner Tori Amundson has resigned, unfortunately. So we'll be posting, I don't know the exact date, but we'll be posting the opening as soon as we can, and just tell your friends and family that we'd love to have another good person join us here on the Planning Commission to replace Tori. So it's sorry to see her go. She did a great job.
Yes, absolutely.
So what I've given out here tonight and is the Chapter 5, the land use chapter. We are not going to go through it all, but I've just got a few revisions to it just to show you, and then if you would just insert that into your binders, that is replacing the last Chapter 5 that you saw. So if you would, this meeting is a continuation of our April meeting where we started to talk about the land use and the mapping, and we had some areas that needed to be added in the text of Chapter 5. And if you turn to page 49, that's the second page in here, you'll see that I have highlighted and underlined additional text that you didn't see before. And this is to explain the Transfer of Development Rights Program, the TDR program. That was missing from the old Chapter 5, and it needs to be in there. So I've added that. It just tells you a little bit about how the TDR program was established as the part of the BDUGA, the Black Diamond Urban Growth Area Agreement, and the Open Space Agreements. It's also central to the Master Plan Development Agreement, and, you know, that there has to be a provision to allow for extra density. There has to be this provision where they're getting a bonus density, but they're getting that through this program. So basically, I don't know how much, I don't want to go into a lot of detail about the TDR program, but basically what it is you have areas that are not suitable for a lot of development, and they're more valuable for the public benefit as left as open space. They may be wetland, they may be, a recreational area, something of high value to the public. So the TDR program was established and is implemented in our code, in Chapter 19 of our code. And it sets up this deal where if you have an area that you could send, strip off your development rights, then you agree to do so, and then the transfer of those development rights is made through an exchange, and so the receiving, so you've got a sender that sends their development rights and sells them to the receiver, and then the receiver purchases those and can then have a bonus in the density. So the receiver in our case is the MPD. The receiving site is the master plan development through the development agreement. So this TDR program, very brief in here because obviously it's all implemented. The details are in our code, but we just needed to have that little bit of narrative in here. And then treasured places. We discussed treasured places in our land use goals and policies, but we didn't actually have any information about what the treasured places are. That is actually part of the TDR program. And if a person has some land that they believe should be conserved, has high value as a, you know, environmental or some natural resource or public benefit area, then they would make an application to the city to be designated as a treasured place, then that becomes a sending site. So,
can I,
yeah.
For clarification, so what you're saying is if somebody's land, if I'm understanding this correctly, is let's say it's owned already, you know, whatever, and but they have come to the city and said, no, I don't want my land to be developed
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
So is it essentially like a covenant?
What happens is the zoning does not change, but they record a conservation easement in perpetuity. So you're actually stripping the rights to develop that land voluntarily, recording a conservation easement that is on the title of the land. And then it's actually a piece of paper, a certificate. However, it was valued for whether it's 10 or 15 or 20 rights to develop, and then that goes has to be purchased by an entity which in the receiving area.
Which then could be on a different parcel.
Yes, goes to a different parcel.
Right, so somebody right. could essentially sell their rights.
Right, right. At that point, there's, you know, the whole idea is it's a kind of a free market. Yeah.
And any property owner can apply?
For the treasured places designation, yes. The whole TDR mapping for the sending and receiving areas, that occurred by ordinance. But we, if we were to have an application where someone said, I would like to be considered, you know, as a treasured place, then that property owner would go through the process. And if it has to be approved by city council,
sure.
and then the map would be changed to include that land as a sending area.
So my point is that somebody who maybe owns a large vacant parcel somewhere and does not want it to be
right.
could essentially come to the city and do this.
Right, that's right. And then they could have a certificate that has some value to the developer. Right.
Who owns the other property.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question. This is Chairman McCain. How is that value calculated?
It's the number of TDRs is there's a formula in the code. Mm-hmm. So the actual value of the TDR is established by the marketplace. So it just depends on supply and demand, what someone is actually willing to pay somebody else for that.
Has there been any recent TDR transfers that you know of? I know you haven't been the city again very long, Barb.
No, this in this program, you'll be seeing some code work on this because it wasn't written very well. But it was sort of part of, like I said, all the open space and the Beduga and things like that, and as a means for ensuring that the valuable open space was preserved, but that the landowner had some compensation for it, also to make sure that through the development agreements and all the provisions that are in that the master plan developer could actually achieve the density. So it is all really wrapped up in that whole event. And then it just sat dormant, right? Because there was no demand.
Right.
There was no development occurring. So I think we're going to start to see some interest now, but we have had one transaction, and it was between the master plan developer and I believe Bill Comble. So we've actually only seen one transaction that has occurred mm-hmm. to date, and this has been on the books for a long time. But in the beginning, when this program was developed, the development rights were stripped off of the regional park when the city took it, and so the city actually is holding development mm-hmm. rights based on. So it's this real kind of complicated. Sometimes it seems a little convoluted, but. But yes, that's essentially what the program was supposed to do. And at the time that it was developed, there were more than one receiver sites. But then the one developer bought all of those. So essentially, that creates a problem for the market. Obviously, you've only got one buyer mm-hmm. and multiple sellers. So we need to continue to work that out, but the comp plan needed to mention the TDR program and treasured places because, as I've said, particularly where we have the treasured places, you notice when we were going through the goals and policies that we mentioned that we want to uphold the treasured places, we want to protect these areas, and I think it was actually Planning Commissioner. I think Brian, when he was on, he said, "What's the treasured places?" So I've added that information.
Then if you keep turning to page 54 of 108, 5.8, I added some of the master plan development overlay. Just to sort of clarify what that is, it's laid over the base land use designation for the MPD. So it's just a little clarifying language to help people understand what an overlay is. And then moving on, 56 and 57, 5.9, I added transfer of development rights receiving areas overlay. That needs to show up on our comp plan map. It's not showing up there now. And so we actually have, by ordinance, adopted that map that has the sending and receiving areas. The receiving areas does become an overlay on the comp plan because potentially it's going to be developed at a higher density if they get bonus points to do it. So that needs to be on the comp plan map. It's not there now, but I needed to make sure that we had that overlay designation in here. Same with 510. I don't know if you've heard us talking about this, but we have a gateway corridor overlay. And again, it needs to be mentioned in the comp plan, needs to be on the map. It's this area within 200 feet. There's two areas where it applies to, where you'll see it on the map. State Route 169, it starts at the city's north boundary to the north side of Roberts Drive intersection. And then it goes 200 feet of either way, commencing at the city's northernmost to the north side of Roberts Drive intersection. That's one spot. And then the other is the 200 feet, which is basically on either side of the Auburn Black Diamond Road from the western city limits eastward to the first intersection. And I didn't have time to see what that first intersection with the arterial street, I want to name that. But so you've got just these little corridors along the state routes that because they have scenic views and are considered gateways to the city, we have placed an overlay, and that overlay has been implemented in the code, and it has design standards, higher level of standards for development. So those were changes that, based on our April conversation, that I said, those are missing in here and I need to add them. So I added that, and now you have a revised chapter 5 for your notebook.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner LaConte, going back a little bit to that transfer of the Treasure Places property exempt from development, what happens when that person either passes away or sells the property?
So a conservation easement is recorded with the county auditor, and it becomes, it encumbers the land in perpetuity. So if the land is sold, if the ownership changes, the title of that land will always be encumbered with that conservation easement. So it's not something that is going to just reverse because someone sells the land.
Does it work this way? Okay. Add on to Commissioner LaConte's comments, if the could somebody, though, come back and request that it be removed? Is there an opportunity to do that?
Like
a release of easement?
There could be, yes, they could request that, and then it would have to go through some sort of a legal process to reverse it.
Sure.
And it may not be approved.
Right.
Right.
I would assume council, if they can approve to put an easement in place, they should be able to be releasing it.
Right.
So, okay.
Right.
Thanks.
So, So that's what I have with that. And then the kind of the meat and potatoes of what I'd like us to be doing tonight is really focusing on the map. It's great. We had Commissioner LaConte brought in a thing about the difference between zoning and comp plan maps. And that's wonderful because it's often not understood that they are two different things. The future land use map in your comp plan is a high level general overview that looks out to the future, 20 years into the future, there. And so you're looking for generalized land use, and then your zoning map is where your that's in the moment. This is the here and now. So your zoning may not always match your land use map. In this case, in our city, it does. But when you make a change to your land use map, in our case, it will always be accompanied by a zoning map change too, because we have this one for one designation is the zoning is going to be that. That may not always be the case, but that's what it is right now. And so again, our public comment today was also timely for this discussion that I hope that we can have. And you know, looking at the map and thinking about the land use designations, we had a conversation in April, and I made a recommendation that I'd actually like to talk about, because I was looking at, so on this map, you see where I've written 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Those were the parcels that that we had been talking about changing the designation. This map doesn't show that change. This is the existing map that we are under right now. But in that conversation, the kind of the violet, purpley violet colored areas that have mixed use, I said, well, we don't have a mixed use description in our, or criteria in our comp plan, nor do we have a zone to implement a mixed use. Maybe it makes sense just to get rid of the mixed use. Well, we weren't sure if that was the right thing to do at that time. You know, we had the MPD is the one that has the mixed-use designation, and whether or not that would, you know, be a conflict with the development agreement was one question. So I went back and I did talk to the Oak Point folks. I also had discussion with several landowners, and then I looked at the map again and started thinking about what we have. We have residential, we have an industrial or light industrial business park, all that blue area, which, you know, residential is what it is. There's either a low or a medium residential, and it's pretty straightforward. That's the primary use. Then we have a use that allows for the industrial and light industrial business park. So, you know, we're looking at a lot of area around the gravel pit and that's going to potentially have in the future people doing industrial manufacturing, you know, building materials, cabinetry, distribution, food processing, packing, that sort of thing. And then we have that industrial, which is adjacent to it, and it's supposed to be gray, but the printer made it look more like a lavender color. But in the industrial area, it's going to be mining, steelwork, refineries, things that are really more of a high intense use. They need energy. They usually need water. They usually need good access to transportation, rail, and freight transportation. Then we have our commercial zones, and we have a commercial zone that's just specific for Old Town. That is the one area where we could entertain mixing commercial and residential just in that little area in Old Town. Then we have the community commercial, which is intended to, that's the one that's like a brown color, goes up and down 169 mainly on either side. And so the idea when this map was made is that that would be where we could see serving, you know, passing needs of people. You could have restaurants, motels, professional services, entertainment, things like that. And then the third commercial area is called the neighborhood commercial. Then again, that's like little small scale neighborhood convenience goods and services, but they're just nested in residential areas. And then you have your public. So after I started thinking about this and after the conversations with folks that I had after I left the meeting with you, I started to think, well, there's a lot of support that a mixed use designation would allow more flexibility and perhaps make more sense. One of the people I interviewed said he had done several market studies on his land is, you know, in the business park light industrial. At the time, he thought that would be the best use for that land. But after doing market studies, he said he's finding that it's not so much. It's probably going to be more residential, and that the industrial and manufacturing and business park is probably not going to happen. So the question for you is, do you want me to go back and think about a mixed use designation and bring back to you what that could look like and what the uses could be so that we could really consider adding a mixed use rather than just taking it off of the map? That's my question.
Well, I don't think Commissioner, I'm the Commissioner, right?
Yeah.
Commissioner,
speak up, is your mic on?
I don't think that we need to stop you from doing that. I mean, more information is certainly good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks. We don't have to take it any further than that, but it'd be nice to see what you come up with.
Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just wondering, before I go through a lot of work, if it makes sense to you. It made sense to me after I started thinking about it and looking at this map, that if you think about it, the only place on here that we really allow for any kind of mixed residential and commercial uses is just in Old Town. And that doesn't provide a lot of flexibility for people to develop the property, but.
Commissioner Seth here. I agree with Commissioner Amber. I think we should at least explore the option.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it when we get more detail, I guess, as to what a mixed use would look like for Black Diamond.
Okay.
So, because other, I know in other cities, mixed use is, anything from, an apartment complex with retail on the bottom floor to, literally mixed uses where you have a restaurant and you have a condo and then you have a donut shop or whatever. And
right.
So it's, it could look a lot different depending on what we might allow in the future. So it would be interesting what the administration's idea of mm-hmm. what mixed use means for Black Diamond. So.
And Commissioner McCain here, I've always been a proponent of more commercial resources along the commute corridors, and I think that site number 4 really could be looked at as a commute corridor, that would be a great place to explore some mixed use alternatives, as well as space number 1 or the site number 1, really what's going to be the most productive use of the state utility here of the highway, and I think providing for some flexibility is a good thing. So I would be a proponent of looking at some more detail with that and seeing what that actually means, but it seems like it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Any other commissioners like to chime in on that? So hearing that, I guess we have some more information on that, Ms.
Yeah.
Kincaid, next meeting.
Let's do that, and then I'll I should have my mapping software installed. So I was a little bit rough on me trying to get maps to you for this meeting. So then I can maybe have some mapping scenarios for you to look at your next meeting. And then hopefully my hope is that our next meeting is July 10th, that we could wrap up the land use and the map at that meeting and set our public hearing on the draft comp plan.
Commissioner Seth here again. Referring to Ms. Bryant's comments earlier today, is there possibility that you could bring us some information on some of the zoning that she was types of zoning that she was speaking to earlier?
Yeah, I will. And okay. And you know, just as a comment, the mineral resources, agricultural resources, and forest resources, the GMA requires counties to designate those on their comp plans, but not cities. But that's not to say that right. Perhaps the city wouldn't want to entertain that.
It's just an option to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And you know, from a point of view of that being restrictive in a city, I think we could use Covington as a great example of, you know, their core downtown commercial for their new development was mineral. Forever, and in a short period of time, probably 18 months, they converted that to neighborhood commercial or whatever commercial designation they have in that city. So it sounds like reverting it to another more applicable use is not any more difficult if it starts with mineral or mining or something at this point in time. So
right.
Good right. Conversation.
Yeah, and then remember that this map is the 20-year lookout, too. It's like what you want it to look like. And so your actual zoning map could be different and could change to fit this over time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really all I have for you tonight.
Do commissioners have any other questions for Ms. Kincaid? Oh, go ahead, Richard.
Commissioner, is this an advertising brochure?
This is something that...
There's no references on it.
I didn't bring you this.
Mr. Davis did.
Mr. Davis did.
I brought it just so that you would have it to refer to the other map.
Yeah. This is showing you the 10 Trails land use map.
Right, but there's no references to where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is. Oh, wait, it's advertising. Maybe advertising is the right word. Something they give out.
Is this the developments that's going along the end of Robert Road, or where it goes into?
This is the one right where the new roundabout is on Robert Black Diamond, the big one. Yeah.
So I think what we're seeing, if I'm correct, Mr. Davis, that this is pointing out the wetland and the wetland buffer with these,
yeah.
The green and the darker green areas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Point was. Claiming this was part of their plan for having all this open space, and most of it was something they had to do. They didn't have any choice. So I can't remember verbatim things that were said in regards to those comments. That's just.
And I would like to sort of take a quick poll since we're wanting to get. Somewhat stay on schedule with this comp plan hearing. Well, are the commissioners July and August, I know that's vacation month, July 10th and August 7th would be our next regularly scheduled meetings. Do you all expect to be here? Or if we know that we're not going to have a quorum, then we may want to entertain setting a different date to try to get through this. And
I have no conflicts.
Yeah, I'm.
I will be on vacation for a couple of weeks in July, but I believe I'll be able to make both meetings.
Okay.
So,
I think it's of the utmost importance of the Planning Commission to pass this draft along as soon as we can to get the Council's recommendations on it. So, I appreciate everybody's consistent attendance and following the information that's been set out before us, because this is has been a big job, and we're I was noticing from the schedule that was published back in February that we're only one meeting behind where we really wanted to be this time, and it looks like maybe we'll just be one or two meetings behind as of next month. So congratulations, Planning Commissioners. Appreciate that we're pressing in and getting this done. This schedule, I think, was considered aggressive at the time that we first saw it, but we're doing our job, so appreciate your cooperation, everybody.
See, Commissioner Amber, I've got a question on your little parcel number two.
Mm-hmm.
Has any action been taken on that?
No.
Okay.
No, in fact, no action has been on any of this. We talked about whether or not in April, number two, because really what it is right now, low-density residential probably maybe doesn't make good sense. Maybe we thought it would be better to make that blue, make it a business park and light industrial, but we have so much of that already, and then after kind of looking at some of the market studies, it sounds like we may have more business park and light industrial land than we probably need for a while. And that's where that whole discussion about, well, maybe we should think about a mixed use, and so then you could have some development occur in a more sort of holistic kind of way, you know.
And is there one property owner that owns that?
Two, yes. Number two is owned by the Combles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a big chunk, too.
And what is his opinion on it?
His opinion was that he really loved the idea, would support the idea of doing a mixed use. He said that he didn't feel like it was very well suited for low density residential, and that he would definitely support a change to mixed use.
I could see from my real estate experience that having a low density single family area flanking a business park would not necessarily be the best mix, and that we could probably do a better job. Not just because a citizen wants us to, but, you know, with what makes more sense. So
that's exactly right. Commissioner McCain is, like, looking at this, what makes sense. And so at our next meeting, we'll be able to overlay the future transportation network and the open space. So we'll get a better view on what makes sense. I just wasn't able to pull that off for tonight.
No problem. I have a question that would just help me with my perspective a little bit here, Barb. And where is the proposed pipeline road going in? Is it going in between parcels 3 and 4?
Yeah, and kind of one. Yeah, starting off kind of like off of 1 and down 3 and 4. That's exactly right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there will be another major road.
There will be another major.
Which would perhaps change the conversation or the intention of the use of that property a bit.
Yeah, I think it would be, like I said, really to see that tapestry. If I can get my ArcGIS software installed, then I can actually lay that. I can lay all those on one map so you guys can actually look at, okay, well, this is where the future roadway is going to be. This is where the open space and the sending, receiving areas that we've mapped, and just really get a better sense of what would make sense. And then I'll bring that back to you with maybe some different alternatives with the mixed-use concept folded into one of them.
That sounds like a good plan.
Well, now, the area around Lake Marjorie is low-density.
Yeah.
And it's surrounded by industrial and the park.
Mm-hmm.
So having parcel number two, because do you really want a busy mixed use area right up against the park?
Yeah, that's That's a good question.
But currently, that's zone low-density residential, though, correct?
Correct. So maybe medium-density residential would make more sense as a...
Now, what is the difference in density between low and medium?
Medium can go up to 8 to 12. I think even up to 12 in some cases.
Units per acre.
Low density, I think, caps at about 6 units per acre.
No.
So, I mean, you're not talking real, real dense, you know, by a lot of even rent, you know, rent standards. Still pretty low density. But
does that include multifamily housing, or is that all single family?
The low density is just single family and duplex. The medium density does allow for some multifamily, but it's not not like apartment building stuff. It's like triplex and townhouse sort of development.
You know, and that property is surrounded by that light industrial. That's sort of where the gravel pit is, mm-hmm. and things now. So, you know, it's hard to say in the future how much people would want to live there with individual single-family homes. On the other side, flanking up against the regional park, that would be a great place.
Well, yes, and apparently the gravel resource, the mineral resource there is, it's not going to last much longer, more than a couple of years. It won't last the 20 years that's supposed to be the life of this plan. Mm. And then that land will need to be reclaimed. And, you know, in conversation to the owner, it will be reclaimed to its highest and best use, which is considered residential.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good information to have. Mm-hmm. So, commissioners, are we satisfied that we're going to ask Ms. Kincaid to come back with some more thorough ideas and maybe recommendations for the mixed-use category and what we could or could not include?
Okay. Well, it's just going to be a definition of what the mixed use would be, right?
Well, I'm going to actually, you know, write up what I would think would be fitting for a mixed use designation for Black Diamond, which, as Commissioner Seth said, mixed use is all over the board, but the mix of uses and the densities that would be allowed, so that you could tell me if you think that is, you know, would fit, and then with the mapping scenarios to go with it.
All right. Thank you for your... Oh, go ahead, Commissioner LeConte.
Yeah, Commissioner LeConte, what are these numbers? Where are they defined anywhere, or are they just on there incidentally?
Oh, the numbers I wrote on there because those correlate to a discussion we had in April about those parcels.
When?
April.
April.
Mm-hmm. I think April 10th meeting. We talked about these were parcels that had received... requests that landowners would like us to consider changing them, and we talked about that. And for example, number one, the person that owns that thought that it did not make sense to have just this one parcel of business park light industrial surrounded by community commercial. I asked that the Planning Commission during its work would consider making it community commercial. We talked about that. Two, again, we talked about, well, does it make sense to have this low density surrounded with the park on one side? And three and four were sort of the same thing property owner asked us to consider. So those, of course, correspond to the conversation we had a couple months ago. And I haven't made any changes to the map, to the draft map, because number one, I couldn't, and number two, I just really started to give it some more thought after I went back after that April meeting and started talking to folks that maybe we need to be a little more thoughtful about what we're doing.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Kincaid, but some of this came from the result of our open house,
mm-hmm.
and people sharing their comments, the public sharing their comments with us regarding this comp plan overview at that time.
Right.
So really want to, for the record, let the public know that we are paying attention, are interested in considering, you know, their ideas for the future comp plan, and that those five items we'll be discussing more in length at our next meeting.
Right, and also the mixed use, because one of the things would be, one of your options would be, like we talked about, well, then let's just get rid of the mixed use on this map. You know, it doesn't mean anything at this, right now it means nothing. There's no criteria for designation. It's just part of the MPD overlay, and we don't have any implementing zone for it. So,
well, who dreamed up the mixed use for this?
Oh, probably attorneys. I don't know. I really don't know.
Did Commissioner McCain? Didn't the original idea come maybe from the PSRC and? Based on what other communities are following as far as zoning designations go, perhaps City of Maple Valley, perhaps City of Covington, something like
that. And perhaps that's right. And I have a feeling that because it has the mixed, the MPD overlay, that people thought, oh, it doesn't really matter because the overlay, as long as that's on there, that sets, that's sort of the governing thing. But the underlying zoning is important, too, because if the MPD overlay goes away for some reason, then, or if they don't, you know, they don't do what they need to do to develop under that agreement, then they would be developing to what the underlying zoning is, and we don't have anything for them to use there for regulations and criteria.
Well, and just noticing the document that Commissioner LaConte brought in tonight. Just this one paragraph says, the comp plan map and the zoning map are like a leader and a follower. Mm-hmm. The plan map is the leading map, and the zone map is the following map.
Right.
The zone map can catch up to the plan map, but it can't go past it. I think that's a kind of an interesting concept I didn't understand, and I think I would like to dig into that a little bit more. And I might ask, Commissioner LaConte, where did you get this information? So it was, what was it under, do you know?
It was under something
from the state of Virginia. It's really well written, though.
Oh, yeah, but I would like to know if this both does apply to here in the state and if it could be approved by, you know, the city of Black Diamond. If these concepts were correct, maybe we could get an email to say, maybe, Barb, prior to next time's meeting, whether or not this information could be something we could think that would apply to us here in the city or not, then we won't have to spend a lot of time thinking about the nuances here. Maybe that would be helpful.
Oh, sure.
In an email, commissioners, would that help? Because on the surface, I like what it says here. I just want to know if we can trust it to be something that's applicable.
Oh, sure. And it just on its face, from the quick reading, it definitely it explains what a comp plan and a zone, the relationship, I thought, it's accurate.
Right. But I'd like you to have a chance, too, to further go into it to see if it's something we can really consider. But thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I appreciate, is that the end of your presentation,
that's
Ms. Kincaid?
It. Yes.
Well, thanks very much. We are getting down to the, you know, the final parts of this, which is... you know, it's more complex than it might appear on the surface. So at this point in time, I'd like to close this part of the meeting and open the meeting for additional public comment. Anyone liking to approach a planning commission with any comment, please step to the podium. Cite your name and your city for the record, please.
Hello again, commissioners. My name is Kristen Bryant. I'm from Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. And listening to the conversation, I just was really reminded about the purpose of zoning. Zoning is only partly about the property owners. I think it would be kind of interesting to look at the history of it, and we might find that if it were just about the property owners, we wouldn't have any zoning. Because if I want to build a Walmart on top of my
house where I maybe have maybe a 2-acre lot, and I think I can fit a Walmart, then I can do that. I'm going to make the most money that way. And if my neighbor wants to put in a gravel pit operation and make noise from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m., and they think they're going to make the most money that way, they can do that. And if somebody else says, I think I'm going to put in a 40-story tower because I could sell giant condos 40 stories up, I'm going to do that. And zoning comes in really for the neighbors and the community, not for the person who owns the property. We could probably venture to say that certain property owners, it's simply about how much upzoning they can get to make the most money. So if you are holding on to a parcel that zoned low density residential and that's one or two houses per acre, and the city changes you to 8 to 12 houses per acre, the city just gave you a whole bunch of money. And is that really appropriate? Is that really what the neighbors want? Is that really what the people in the area want for a rural town? Would be the question I would put forward and think about when thinking about zoning. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to add public comment? Mr. Davis?
Just ditto, because zoning is very crucial. It's got to be handled very, very carefully. I'm running in. That's enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. All right. Well, I think that we've accomplished much. I appreciate, commissioners, your attendance tonight, and Ms. Kincaid, of course, and Ms. Martinez. I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. And this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. See you next month.